guys, welcome to Wake Up with Wesley, and you are in for a treat. I'm sitting here with Mama Joy. Hi, Mom.
Hi, my little love. How are you?
It's my mom.
Yay! I feel privileged.
Her name is Joy Markham.
Yes.
She's been my mom for my whole life.
Yes. I spoke to you in the womb before you were born a lot, probably abnormally a lot, which
is probably why I am the way I am.
Yes. It was kind of weird. I had to make up for things. So I did a lot of speaking to you in the womb. So we've known each other a long time.
So you guys, everyone wants my mom on. I've been wanting my mom on too. The first season one, I was like, you were always in my back pocket and it never worked out. And there's a reason why to that. And I have figured it out now. And it's because season two is just different than season one. Like, we're getting into the real stuff, the nitty gritty stuff. Like, the public persona was season one. The real me is season two.
I like the real you.
I'm a little spicy.
I like spicy you. You still are soft you. So people don't need to be like,
I'm very balanced. I'm a Libra. Yes. I'm as spicy as I am sweet. Like, yes. I'm just a Sour Patch
and
kid.
That's a beautiful combination.
But I think I'm a little spicy because you're a little spicy.
As I should be.
I feel like, Mom, tell me if this is right or wrong.
Okay.
I feel like I'm equal parts you and Dad.
You are so equal parts Dad and I. It's crazy.
So let's explain who you are.
Okay.
Like, who if no one knows you, how do you describe you?
Okay. I'm going to show up. If I'm at your house, I'm going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to like carry on conversation with the awkward person.
You are the entertainer, the caretaker.
Yeah. I'm going to make sure that it all goes smooth and it goes well and my energy's good. I'm going to show up. I'll be on time. I'll stay late. I'll bring the food. I'm going to make sure that everyone has a good time and that everyone feels loved, cared for, and important.
Mom, you are productive. That's like the understatement of the world. Like, productive not only in what you bring to a social engagement, but in your energy. Like, you don't let people feel uncomfortable. You kind of always go to the underdog. And you vibe people out. Like, you walk into a room, your energy sensitive, you know what's up. And you kind of take it upon yourself. This is from my opinion, like my
being a child. Well, you've seen me a lot.
Yes, but I noticed this as a kid and I kind of thought all moms were like that. I remember getting into middle school and being like, oh, what? Like, not all moms just make the space great. You make the space great. So this is me as a child. I would get home from school. My mom would have ABBA blaring on the she'd be like, let's dance.
Dancing
let's
in party. The kitchen. The key to success right there.
She really did a great job at making me feel seen. Like, before school, after school, I felt celebrated as a child. You're really, really, really good at that. And I thought that all moms did that with their kids until I started going to friends' house. And I'm like, why doesn't your mom like entertain you when you walk in the door and like hug you and dance with you in the kitchen? Like, your mom is so mean. I thought other moms were mean.
I know. Well, that's because being a mom for me was joyous. It was something I looked forward to. I loved it. It's probably one of the things I think I'm the best at.
Yeah.
I mean, not to toot my own horn, because clearly I could have done a million things better. But with that being said, I felt confident in being a mother, even though if you looked on paper, I shouldn't have been confident.
Why?
I was young. I mean, you know, Dad and I, we got married young. I was 22 when I had you. In my world, we didn't do things, air quotes here, quite right. So we were kind of like set
unplanned
on this
pregnancy.
Yes. And we were set on this journey of, well, you guys made these choices, so good luck figuring it out. And that was the greatest gift I think my parents and my in-laws probably gave us, was that ability to say, oh, we got this. And not only are we going to figure it out, we're going to do a good job. So as a young mom, like I was joking, I used to talk to you in my stomach. I'd say, okay, I know this is a little freaky. I'm a little young. We're not really ready for all this, but you and I are going to be good. We're going to have fun. I would just talk and just comfort you in the weirdest way before you were born.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to make sure you came in knowing that we're okay. And I worked really hard at being okay and trying to do it with some fun.
So, yeah, I can
I did
vouch
that.
For
I tried.
That. You sheltered a lot from us. So like you really, the weight of the world was on yours and Dad's back. Like, you were alone. You didn't have a leg up in life at all.
And we didn't have any family around us.
No.
We were going to college. I worked two jobs. Dad was a full-time student and worked a job. And I refused to take you to daycare. So we managed all of that with no family. It was challenging, but we did it. And it was fun. And you know what? I would not trade that for anything, because it gave us that sense of achievement mm-hmm. and that we can do it. And it taught me something else that I don't even know if you know this, but in all of the quote hardships of your life or Rory's or Hayden's, like I want to run in and rescue and save or throw money at you to make it less painful. And I realized that that was taking away your ability to grow, to learn, to struggle, and to feel like you've got it. So I tried not to give too much. But with that being said, we danced a lot in the kitchen. We had lazy days. We tried to play. I wanted it to be fun too.
It was fun. I feel like, Mom, I'm going to say this, and I really mean it. I think the biggest, I'm going to cry.
It's okay.
I just need to cry for a minute.
Cry. Just okay. It's all good.
This is the only time I'll cry.
Okay.
Okay. Didn't expect that.
Oh, man.
I'm still crying. Okay, it's but okay. Mom, genuinely.
I know.
No, the biggest blessing in my life was you as my mom. Aww. Really, I mean that. It wasn't an easy life. We had everything we needed.
Of course.
But there was a lot of moving, a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And
a lot of outside influences needing our help, my help.
Oh, gosh.
Taking me away from what I loved most. Yeah, a lot of that.
We had a lot of shit, man.
I know.
And you did a really, really, really good job. I'm understanding as a mom myself, the weight of what you were holding and how you did your best to not even have it be a part of our awareness. Like you did your best. We were unaware of a lot of heavy shit. And even though I knew stuff was always going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, we moved how many times, Mom?
We moved Utah, Colorado, back to Utah, back to Colorado, back to Utah.
And 25 houses in between all those places,
And like we'd be in Lehigh, we were in like 3 houses in Lehigh. And then we were in Highland. And then we were in Cedar Hills.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah.
It got to the point where like for sale signs would go up into our yard and we'd be like, are we moving? And our parents would be like, no, we're just seeing. And then 3 weeks later, we really would move. And I was like, what the fuck?
But here's the thing, Wes, in all fairness, every move we made, although it was torturous for you and me not knowing like how hard it was for you, because I didn't have that growing up. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have that experience to understand what that's really like. So first of all, I'm sorry for that. But every move we made was to better our life.
Yeah, I understand that now.
And it was like, you probably do have an idea because you've got kids now. I've seen you do it. But the level of which I would look at what school districts and where to go and where to have our house and how to make it be as smooth mm-hmm. and safe as possible. Like I freaking tried my damnedest. And a few of those moves, like I can't take credit for, like when you had to change schools just because they built a new one, that wasn't my fault. Mm-hmm. So
I count it.
I know. And you count elementary, junior high, and high school is 3. That has to happen. So you got to take
Nuh-uh.
Away.
Nuh-uh.
All right. No,
I went to 4 fairness. High schools. That is ridiculous.
In
4.
All, in, you went to 4? You went to 3.
I went to, oh.
You went
okay,
to the
we
1.
We won't get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Still. No, in fairness, Wes, it was chaotic for you as a child. I can see that now. Mm-hmm. But I promise in the moment, every time that we had to move, it was like the opportunity was there. And we started out young. This is a disadvantage of being a really young couple because you got to be drugged through all of these growing years. Mm-hmm. I mean, when your dad's 20 years old and we were married, mm-hmm. I mean,
I know the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Yeah. I recreated history here.
Like, I know. But we did, what we needed to do to provide what we considered was a really like safe and stable and good mm-hmm. life for you. But we missed it on the fact that you needed more roots.
So
and
here's
Rory
what I
loved
think,
it. And that's the weird thing.
Here's what I think
Rory
is interesting.
Rory loved it.
That's what I want to talk about. So one child's trauma is another child's like cool adventure.
Yeah.
So
it's weird.
Your kids are different. So we only had, our family is unique in the fact that it was just my brother and I. So I was born first. Mm-hmm. About 4 years later, my brother was born. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 16, Hayden was born, the baby. And yeah. Everyone wants to know like, did your mom get remarried? No. My mom and dad have been together for 35 years.
Yeah. No, Hayden was like our little precious, unexpected caboose baby toy that we all just loved more than anything in the world.
She's like my first child.
Yeah. And for me, it was so fun because I got to have a baby. You know, I was almost 40 when I had Hayden, but I got to have a baby and make a nursery and have a home where I could bring her home to. I didn't have to work full time. Mm-hmm. I worked literally for both you and Rory. I worked the day I gave birth on both of you. Mm-hmm. I was back to work with you 4 weeks later, and we moved from Oregon back to BYU here, Utah. So 4 weeks after I went to work, Rory, I had to do payroll like 3 days later and I had had a C-section and it I just kept working. I mean, it just, and so for Hayden, it was like, I'm get to be leisurely hanging around, having some fun. I got to just
you gotta be a mom
and it was fun.
Yeah.
So that was fun for all of us. I like that was a good experience.
It was a good experience. And we have always had a really fun life, a fun family. I think that what we kind of hit on in the beginning, which is you made life really enjoyable for us kids. It's something that I aspire to do now with my kids, and knowing what it takes, I know now the intentionality of what you created back then that I thought was just you. I understand and I appreciate like that wasn't just because it's who you are. You were intentional at that time, because when my kids come home from school and I've been working all day and I have nothing, I have nothing in the tank to give. I muster up some energy and they say fake it till you make it. And it's like, okay, I don't have any of this, but I am going to show up for them and I am going to hug them and give them my undivided attention. I'm going to swing them around in my kitchen. That is because of you. That is because I had that as an example. I know the impact of what that does to a child's life. Like when a child walks into this room, it does not matter what I'm doing because I'm 35. When I come to your house, you're cooking, you're whatever, you drop everything, you throw your arms up into the air and you give me a hug and I still crawl into your lap like a little kid to this day.
I still love snuggling. It's our favorite thing. Comfy clothes, good foods, and a snuggle. That's all we need.
Mom, you are the one who's like, comfort is my top priority. It's you. You did this to me. I cannot not be comfortable. It's so important to you. Like nothing is better than just snuggling up with like some food and watching our show.
Yeah,
that is our love language.
And we've gone on like great vacations and big things and done cool
things. I don't
think
anything is as good as like watching a TV series eating Cafe
Rio. Just simple, keeping it simple. I know. How crazy is that? I totally agree.
So, no, Mom, but I want to talk to you about something that I think you're really, really thriving at now. Like as I'm watching you in these different ages, different transitions of life, is you seem to transition really well. And maybe I'm overspeaking, but this is what I sense. I sense now what I knew was happening in our childhood, which is we were having a hard time with certain things. It means you were too. And you hold it well, like with Hayden, my little sister. Mm-hmm. It was her last year of school last year.
Yeah, that was rough.
Empty nest. Yeah. Like you had to.
Yeah.
Feel that. Yeah. I know it wasn't easy for you and you're in this very strange time. You've been a mom for 35 years with kids underneath your roof. Now you are all of a sudden, it's a different phase of life. I want to talk about how you seem to seamlessly transition in and out of these big phases and find joy in them.
In that. Okay. The word seamlessly is really a compliment because it's not at all true.
So it's really hard for you internally?
Do you not remember, let's see if you remember this word, my pillow moments. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. When you're getting ready to go to college, I did everything in my power to be so excited. And we bought the comforters. We did all the things. We're so proud of you. This is going to be so fun. And seriously, every single night I would be bawling my eyes like it would be 4 more nights until she doesn't come home late. And then 3 more nights. And I would get a pillow and you caught me several times bawling.
Face down, you guys, like downward dog.
Like bawling my ass out because every little moment was like, no, it's the last one of this. I did not want to give you up. I had too much fun with you selfishly. But here's the kick. I loved you enough to absolutely know that I would go through any heartbreak in the world to get you to do something that was going to be better for you. So I never was like that mom, like, oh, don't go.
You never took it out on me. It was never my problem.
I
knew you were sad.
But I wanted you to experience. I wanted you to have the joy in it. I wanted to be supportive. But seamless is a hard word because I think there was a lot of silent suffering. But here's the beauty of what I learned. What? Okay, so for example, when you were 6 months old, I thought you were like the absolute like cutest, most fun. I just couldn't imagine loving anything or anyone more than that. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, she's getting bigger. She's walking.
Panic.
Yes.
The panic.
It's like, wait, stay little. And then you were 2. And oh my gosh, Wesley at 2. First of all, you weighed 18 pounds when you were 6 months old. And then you weighed 18 pounds when you were like almost 3.
Honey girl was fat.
You were so chubby and so cute. And then you just grew into this teeny tiny little petite cutest little girl on planet Earth. And I just could not get enough of you at that age. Loved, loved, loved you at that age. Then it's those years like we're going to kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, then all the emotions come up. You're sending your child to kindergarten. Sent you to kindergarten, and that was so fun. Then I got to go and be a room mom. I got to see you interact with other kids. I got to see how you were in different circumstances, different situations. I get to watch you be brave. I got to watch you be scared. Like, that was so enjoyable. So that's when you're like a five-year-old. And then you go into the junior high and the high school and all of these different phases. There were things that terrified me, mm-hmm. like the teen years. I freaking love the teen years. You and Rory were so much fun. And Hayden, you too. You just weren't there quite yet. So
Hayden, we love you.
Yeah, yeah.
But genuinely, there's a life before Hayden and a life after Hayden. Like, there's like a family life before Hayden.
Yeah.
Hayden has a different life.
Yes.
It's weird.
It is weird. But you and Rory were teenagers, I loved it. I freaking loved it. And you guys were rambunctious. I don't know what the word is. You were
Mom, Rory, tell it how it is.
Me and Rory was rough. Rory was so much fun. And you were so much fun, but you guys have always been strong-willed. You've always been your own people. You've always been like non-wavering in who you're gonna be. And as a mom, nothing makes me happier. Nothing makes me prouder. And then still to work within the boundaries of that, to do certain things can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. But I loved the teen years. I loved when you guys brought your friends. I loved the activities you got to do. So I didn't sit back and cry for my 6-month-old at all. I loved this new phase of life. Mm-hmm. And then it was college and I was suffering when you were
going to leave. Well, I only went for 5 weeks, so.
Well, that was a rough 5 weeks and it still cost $15,000, I think, for that 5 weeks.
Mom, everyone wants to know, was I expelled from college or was I removed by you?
By dad, yeah. Dad,
you guys told me I was expelled.
Yeah.
So let's be clear about that.
No, you weren't really expelled, but that we don't even have to go into the details. Remember that one night?
Yeah.
That I came up to rescue you?
No, I think we go into the details. I had an ex-boyfriend call my mom and tell her that
he
wasn't
from Colorado. He was in Colorado and he called me in Utah.
You guys, I was dating Bronson and MySpace was out and it was cool. And I started posting pictures of me with this new guy named Bronson. And my ex-boyfriend called my mom and said that I was overdosing on heroin.
And I was like, this was a girl who in high school, she never even did
anything.
This was so, I'm like, you're freaking crazy. Like, but he had me so scared and then I couldn't get a hold of you.
Yep.
And so it was like 1 or 2 in the morning and I did the drive up.
You called the cops.
We called the police to go to your dorm room. I was so scared. And dad was in, I think he was in Europe.
Yeah,
he was like gone, like can't get home quickly, gone on a business trip. And I'm trying to call him and he's just like, what in the actual hell? And I go running. It was awful. And there's you and Bronson. You guys had been partying. You didn't do anything like the boyfriend had said. You were probably...
No, we had drank alcohol. Yeah. We drank alcohol as a freshman in college. Yes. And I had alcohol in the dorm and Bronson was living with me in the girls' dorm.
Yes, yes.
In my twin bed.
Yes, I do remember that.
And so they were like, the cops show up. My mom shows up. It's 2:00 in the morning. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm escorted off of my campus. And my mom brings me home and says, you're sleeping in my bed. And you're okay, what are we doing?
Safety first. Remember the rules, laws, and safety.
Yes.
That's where we draw the line. I really let you guys be pretty like free to do and explore and experiment. Because I trusted you, mm-hmm. but that scared me.
It scared the shit out of mom. Well, that's a lie, first of all. That is horrific.
Oh, relentless. Like he kept calling me and had all these stories and horror things. And I'm like, what is going on? Am I this out of touch? It was so frightening.
And we have to tell the truth. None of that. It was all a lie. It was all false.
I know.
But the fear was real.
Yes. And the reason we pulled you out of school was simply because like when we looked back at the 5 weeks you were there, I don't think you were even going to class at all.
I went to a few.
Yeah, she went to a few. And Bronson was living in the dorms and I think he was eating on your meal ticket and everything else. And so we just thought maybe she's not quite ready for college.
Dad had the bright idea to tell me I was expelled and that
I don't remember that.
Mom.
He did, huh?
Yeah, he said that I wasn't allowed, that you took me off, that I was like that bad, that they wouldn't accept me back. Wondering about that for about 20 years now.
No, that was a decision that he and I made. I think we both made it because mm-hmm. I was scared and he was like, you know how he looks at things. Well, this mm-hmm. is a waste of money. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Why would we be spending this now when she's not ready for it? Let's just save the money we saved for her. Let her take a break. Let her take a breather. Figure out what's important to her. And then we'll put her back in when she's ready. Mm-hmm. So that was the plan. And you have to remember that his years in college, I mean, you didn't know him then, obviously, but he completely screwed up the first year or two. And then once I got married to him, we had to redo all of those classes. It was such a pain in the butt. So he was coming from a place of, let's not waste it.
I wasn't an addict then, but I became an addict after. Did you know that? Well, you know that. Of course, you know that. But did you know the timeline was that?
I know.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, but it's not surprising. Because as a parent, I know these rules myself. I can't like demand that you're going to do something different. That's mm-hmm. just silly for me to mm-hmm. ask or expect. And everyone's just going to be let down. So of course, then you went out and you rebelled.
People want to know about this, Mom. People want to know about your take on your children. Because I've been open about it on the show. Your take on... Because we have a really deep and loving connection. Mm-hmm. And we did as a teenager, mm-hmm. as a child, that never wavered.
Almost every day, even when you were in college and stuff, we talk all the time.
And then when I have my experience of pain, suffering, I talk about it as like all the trauma I'd been stuffing kind of came to the surface. And mm-hmm. I self-medicated with mm-hmm. opiates and all the things and binge mm-hmm. drinking. And there was one year of my life where I was a full-fledged, I mean, it got scary and dark. Yeah. It got really dark. And
I don't think I knew how dark it was. I don't think I knew how dark it was until after, which maybe was a saving grace for me.
Yeah.
I think I chalked it up to, oh my gosh, this girl has been literally perfect, which I don't think is a good thing, Wes. I think that like you should have sown more wild oats. You should not have been so great at everything you accomplished mm-hmm. in your younger years because you just were.
I mean, you guys never had to ask me to be to school. You've never asked me to do my homework. I got straight A's.
You got straight A's. You got these awards. You got nominated for things. It was just so easy for you / for me. So I thought I was just like had this parenting thing figured out, but mm-hmm. clearly, I mean, I didn't. But you made it really easy and you made it really fun. And Rory, on the flip side of that, made it really fun. But his partying and being out there was more in our face. Yeah. So we were more focused on
more discreet.
You were a little more discreet, yes. So we were more worried about him. But even when you started, I knew you were drinking and I knew you were doing these things, but you weren't living at home at that time. Mm-hmm. I just had a knowing. I knew you were going to be fine.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about is... Because we in our community, in our culture at that time, it's a very shameful, gossipy,
yeah.
toxic community.
Yes, absolutely.
And I saw you do this thing that all the other moms weren't doing, which is show up to me and for me with love and acceptance, even in my rebellious streaks. Yeah. Like it almost made you just pulled closer to me. Mom, I don't feel... like you judged me and maybe you were freaking out internally, but was that were you aware of what you were doing with me in those
situations? Yes.
And Rory?
Yes. I was very aware of it.
Conscious.
Because of my upbringing.
Okay. Let's talk about this.
Well, just because of my upbringing, I, you know, had well-intending parents, of course, and I know they loved me and whatever else, but very, very strict mm-hmm. and one set of rules and one set of rules only. And they were governed by other people. That was the world in which I lived. And so I learned early on that fear was a big motivator in our home, like for my mom. She was scared of a lot of things. And again, coming from a place of love, but she was very fearful. So activities, friends that she didn't know, school, basketball games, or, you know, roller skating rink parties, they were things that she absolutely did not want me to go to because she was afraid. She didn't know the people. These were people that were in the world, not of the world, you know, all that kind of crap. So I learned really young to not share my day-to-day life with my mom. And I feel bad for that now because, you know, we both missed out. Mm-hmm. But I learned to not share who might have had a crush on me, what was happening this weekend. So-and-so was doing this. I got invited to this. I really want this.
Was it because any information she would leverage against you?
Every information was used as a weapon. Mm. And so I would, knowing that something was important, my mom would take that away, even if it wasn't rightfully. So it would be like, oh, you didn't get the dishes done quickly. Not because she really cared about the dishes, but she didn't want me going to the roller skating party.
To keep you safe.
It was to keep me safe. So I learned to not share my real life with my mom to protect it so that I could have it. And then I learned to be very manipulative, honestly, and sneak out and go babysitting. I wasn't babysitting. I'd go where I wanted to go. I mean, you know, but I did my own thing. So I learned how to beat the system in my household in which I was raised.
Totally.
And in that process of beating the system, I got what I wanted on the day-to-day often, not always, but often. Mm-hmm. But my mom and I missed out on really important years of building a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I decided very, very early on, probably when I was talking to you in my belly, that the relationship would always be more important than the things, the events, the screw up, the what I want for you versus what you want for yourself. I decided I want to know my kids for who they really are, not who the neighbor thinks they should be, not who I wish they were. I don't care about any of that, and I never had. I want to know the real you.
Can I just back you up right here? Because I remember coming to you, Mom, when Rory was like, Rory really went like, he had a buck wild.
Yes,
like,
he did.
2 years went wild. And I mean, he was wearing, he looked like a guy out of like a 80s hair metal band. Like in his day to day, like he'd wake up and wear this thing. It looked like Halloween. And I genuinely, I like to this day, I think it's so dope. Like,
yeah,
it was there's too, no, it's so
nobody was dressing
sick.
Like
I
that.
I can't even tell you. I think it's the coolest thing ever. And I was so aware of how he was perceived by our neighborhood, by extended family, by our church at the time. And I remember going to you, like, worried about you, being like, Mom, how are you doing? Like, I know, he's doing these things and how are you in it? And you would say, what do you mean? I think he's great.
He was great.
Like, so real for you, Mom. And I know you're so aware of perceptions of others, and you overrode that for your kid.
Because it was best for Rory.
Yes.
Why can't he express himself? What was he doing wrong? Nothing. And I remember a few different times, many times actually, where I would have someone come up either in the neighborhood or maybe in a church setting, and Rory would have this long hair and he was wearing skinny jeans. He was actually wearing your jeans before girl jeans were, or skinny jeans were a thing. I mean,
snakeskin boots, chains.
Yes.
I mean, it was a vibe.
And I remember a few times people coming up to me saying, oh, how are you handling it? Like, as if I was struggling and suffering. And I just always looked at them. And my comeback was always the same because it was the truth. And I'm like, what, his long hair? They're like, yes, is that so hard for you? And I'm like, oh my gosh, no. If you see Rory with long hair and dressed like he wants, please high five him. Tell him you're so proud of him. Because anytime Rory is dressed the way he wants, hair the length he wants, that means he is doing good. Mm-hmm. The minute he starts showing us that we need to pull the ropes back, you're going to see his hair shorter. You're going to see things change. But for now, give him a high five because that kid is rocking and he's genuine to himself and we are proud of him. And I was.
You weren't. It did not. I'm sure you had feelings about it, but we were allowed this. You gave us grace to really be who we are. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't feel I had to show up in a way for you to love me. I felt like the more open I was, the more love and the more trust I got from you. And I know it's the same for Rory and Hayden. And I know it's the same for you. Like, you were cultivating true friendships. And people always say, oh, you can't be friends with your kids. You can't be friends with your kids. I'm telling you that what you did with us as teenagers is the sole reason we're a tight-knit family right now. Yeah. And we had boundaries. People always freak out when they hear that. Like, oh, you're your kid's friend. But like,
oh no, we had rules. I mean, you guys knew the rules and Dad was strict.
Oh, real strict.
Yeah.
But there were tight bounds on everything.
Tight rules. But like Dad would always say, and this sounds probably kind of gross, but he'd say, hey, I'm going to give you guys enough rope to hang yourselves. Mm-hmm. In other words, here's the boundaries. Be home by midnight. Do this, you know, get passing grades, get whatever. The rules were there. And as long as you were fitting in the rules, we were working with you on whatever was important to you that we might have thought was weird or crazy or you different. We didn't care.
We could be ourselves.
You could be yourselves. And I liked watching you guys be yourselves.
I mean, I remember going, like, it's really fun now because even years ago, we're now telling you the things that we couldn't tell you then because we'd be in trouble.
Yes.
But even having these conversations now, I mean, we would throw ragers. You guys would go out of town.
I know.
We would throw house parties with, like, I'm not kidding, Mom, 120 people. I know. 120 people.
And here's how I know I raised you well. Because I always cared about my house being really clean. I would come home and it was spotless. I'm like, they pulled this off I don't know how many times. And then not until later, there was one time I came home and I'm like, what is that? And there was one beer can in the upstairs. Remember the house with the golf course behind it? Yeah. The one beer can, it was like a PBR or whatever, some cheap beer in that trash can. And I pulled it out and I saw Rory's face just like go white, like, shit, we thought we got them all, you know? And I'm like, what has been going on? But you guys cleaned up. The neighbors like later would laugh with us and they'd be like, oh, you should have seen your house on trash day. There was like five huge garbage cans full of.
We would like, Mom, we would offer the neighbors like services. Like we'd be like, hey, we're throwing a party. We'll like help you mow your lawn Sunday. Like,
sorry about the extra noise.
It was us non-verbally saying, don't tell our parents. We're going to help you.
Yeah.
And they, no one, did any neighbors tell you?
Never until later. But here's the crazy thing.
What?
That is the magic. And it is literally magic of you and Rory. Rory can walk into a room and anybody is going to just love him immediately. And he can tell a story, spin us something the way he needs it to get what he wants. And you walk in, not totally different, but get the exact same results by just your presence, your being, and the way you communicate.
It's communication.
Yes. People are like, oh, these are such responsible kids. Look, they showed up to let us know it's going to be a little bit loud. Oh, I'm not going to be that neighbor that tattletales on him. But I did hear
I would offer babysitting, like, oh, you have a four-year-old? Oh, I'm a great. And then they would allow me to babysit after witnessing a rager. I'm like, who are those people? Who are those neighbors?
Well, you guys had a lot of fun. But you know what? Here's my other thing about parenting. I have this weird philosophy where, you know, my whole thing is roots and wings. Mm. I want to give you guys the core, the roots, the important things that really matter as a family for relationships and building things in the future, the roots, the core of who you guys are. Mm-hmm. And then the wings in which to spread and to make mistakes and to go out and try. And you're going to make mistakes. But I always wanted the mistakes to be made while you were still under my roof.
Totally, Mom.
Because then I have a little bit bigger picture of what's happening and how to help, not fix, but how to help guide you. So when that stuff happened, it's age appropriate, number one. And I'm so grateful you guys did it when you were teenagers and that you're not waiting for Bronson to leave the house and have some raging party now to be somebody that you never felt like you got to be when you were young.
Yeah,
that's gross.
We didn't miss out, man.
No, you've got it. That's when you do it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people, when they're too bottled up, it shows when they're in their 30s and their 40s. And then you're affecting a lot of other people.
Then you got kids.
You got, yes. So be teenagers and love your teenagers. And guess what? They're going to screw up and they're not going to do everything you want. And that's okay. But the relationship always came first for me. Mm-hmm. Always came first.
You did a really good job. I'm telling you, as a mom now, I'm really putting myself in your shoes. You always came to us with love and understanding and non-judgment. And that is just something you deserve a little medal, Mom. You really deserve a medal. It's a big deal.
As you know, you're now a parent of a teenager and other kids getting older. You don't get do-overs. And you can't say I wish I did, but there are things that I would do differently now.
What?
Well, I just think I would have been less rigid about, you know, the religion part of it. Mm. I would have been less fear-driven. I wish that I had enjoyed some time that was taken away from me doing other things, which I don't regret the service part of it. I like giving and doing, but I feel like there was a lot of time.
So she's talking about the religion that we were raised in.
Yeah, there was a lots of time that I was away just giving to other people, which isn't a bad thing. I think balance maybe would have been a better word, but a better thing for me to have found more balance. But I just needed to make sure that side of my scale was balanced too. So I always wanted to give and do because to me it equated something not fearful happening to my family.
Yeah.
And I wish I hadn't operated on that. I was so afraid
like
of the what ifs.
If I show up to all the church classes and if I show up on Wednesday night and if I pay all the stuff, then it's almost like this.
You'll be protected.
Yeah. That was real for you.
That was very real for me because that was my upbringing as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I honestly was taught if you didn't show up on Sunday, buckle up.
You might get in a car accident
on Wednesday. Oh, it's going to be a rough week. Like it's going to be tough. So that I had to work through a lot of that and I have. And I just think I could have probably enjoyed a lot more things if I hadn't been quite so fearful on certain other things, if that makes sense.
It does. But I think you did a stand-up job.
Well, I had fun. You guys are, and I still have fun. I mean, you guys are my everything. And then Hayden was so different though. Hayden, I'm like, break a rule, girl. Like,
I'm telling Hayden to break a rule.
Me too.
I'm texting her saying, when are you going to do something wrong? She's 19. The girl's never gotten a ticket. She's never, like,
straight A's. Graduate. I mean, she just did everything. She's just done it all. And the kindest, is she not the kindest human?
No, I've never met anyone like her. Anyone.
I know. She's funny. But she just, that's just who she is, too. It's not, I can't force her to be something different.
I'm kind of trying to. Like, hate it.
Well, go for it. I don't care.
When you're going to mess up, do it with me.
Yeah.
Because it's safe. I feel like, you, how you feel. Like,
I know.
I really want to protect her mom. I feel it with Hayden.
I know.
I mean, that's my sister. I'm imagining you as the mom, but like, holy crap. It's a lot. It's a lot.
But we are lucky because you and Rory were such good friends and you guys were, you know, you had each other's backs and there was times that you guys thought you got away with stuff, but I loved so much watching you guys think you got away with something and supporting each other and like high-fiving each other behind the stairs that I was like, let them think they got away. I
have to say, there is stuff, Mom, that you, I know that you are aware of and you're like, that's just not for me. Yeah. This is something else that I want the audience to know about you is that, I mean, I call you every day. Is there not a day that we don't talk?
No, it's and I love, and we always have the same answering, and you're always like, yo, mama.
I sing every single time. Hi, mama.
Uh-huh. I love it.
We talk every single day. We are in each other's details of our lives, but you really also know when to not be in the details of my lives, and I show you that same respect too. Like,
yes,
we're very, very, very intimate in the way that we divulge information. We really lean on each other. And this is something that I want to talk about is transitioning into a relationship with your adult children. Mm. You've done this really, really, really well. And I think it comes down to when to dive into details and when to allow privacy. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what your gauge is on that. Like, do you have like a moral code, like an ethical like line, or is it intuitive? Like, do you know when to ask us about our personal lives and when to not?
It's definitely just intuitive. I don't have anything emotion or any gauge set up by any means. But I think that I just trust you guys. So I trust you enough to believe that you're going to make the right decisions for your life. And sometimes if you get off path a little bit or things are a little sticky or you're confused or whatever, then let's just talk about it. But I kind of think sometimes parents make the mistake of inflicting their own like childhood wounds into their kids and wanting projecting. For them what we didn't have. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, Wes, honestly, like if you had lived your life the way I had it mapped out for you, you would be safe in a nice home. You'd have food on the table. Like everything would be cared for and safe and easy. Mm-hmm. But I never dreamed the life that you are living. It's so much bigger. It's so much more exciting. It's so much more fun. I'm so proud of all the experiences you've had.
We've lived a risky life. And you know what? You and Dad were our biggest advocates.
Of course we were. When you guys wanted to go like to downtown LA mm-hmm. with my one-year-old granddaughter with a job that paid zero because it was...
You guys, we had $600 and we moved to LA.
Downtown LA and Bronson
was
going
to... It
was an internship. He wasn't even going to get paid.
No.
I mean, do you not think that I had some sleepless nights at home? But I absolutely knew that this was growth for you guys.
Mom, do you want to know what is important about this?
Absolutely knew that. What?
Well, this is one of the questions. So I asked questions and it was... I've said this publicly on the podcast before, which is it's something I'm adopting with my family is I don't do for my children what they can do for themselves.
Yes.
And you are the queen. Dad is the king of this. You do not do things for us that we can do for ourselves. And I think that LA move was a big indication of that because I'm imagining you as a mom and as a grandma and how much you love us and me standing in food lines and you could have easily written a check for $300.
Yep.
And you knew that that was actually not in our highest and best interest.
No. And it's sometimes hard, but it was absolutely the, in my opinion, the best thing to do for you.
I know.
Because
I believe this, you need to hear it from me. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. Good.
It gave us this gusto. This drive that I don't believe we could have got any other way. And I know that it's how you and Dad.
It is.
And it's the same thing.
It was my experience. And so it's one of the hardest gifts kind of like to sit back when you're younger and watch your parents have enough to really give and maybe be like, why are they not just making this easy for us? But I love you
that
so
much. Yep. Yes. I believe that.
I know that I want you to find it for yourself.
It would have been a crutch.
Yeah.
it would have been a crutch. I would have leaned on that. We needed it so bad that it would have been so comfortable.
Yeah.
And you helped us in other ways. You would offer up your home. You fed us constantly. Yeah. But like handing us cold, hard cash, I assume that you and Dad had a discussion like, that is not conducive for a life that they can sustain. It's not helpful, genuinely.
We just wanted you guys to figure it out for yourselves so that you have the confidence to know that you can do it, because then you'll do great things.
Do you know that I'm having these conversations right now with my kids? Like, hey, this is mine and Dad's money. It's not your money.
Yeah.
How are you going to pay for your life? Money.
Yeah.
I want to see, I will move mountains to support you, but not sustain your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And you guys did such a freaking good job of that, that like, I want everyone to hear that. It's not cruel. It was the ultimate kindness.
Yeah.
And we felt capable in all of our risk taking. And we would call Bronson's mom and dad and friends and older mentors. And everyone's like, oh, you're going to do what? You're going to leave this job for this? It's a startup. And everyone was always like, what are you doing? You're not going to have insurance. Anytime we called my mom and dad, Joy and Bill, they were like, do it.
Take the risk.
Do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, we are living a life that is
great reward.
Yeah. I never could have imagined.
And then I did dumb things that to me, it was my own way of making myself feel good, because I didn't rescue, run in and save, even though there's many times I wanted to, you know, but I would do things like buy you new pillows.
Oh my gosh. I would have a baby. Yeah. Mom, you would do this. It was your way of support, of not just doing the easy button. The easy button is hand them some cash. They have nothing. It was in service.
Yeah.
I walked home from having Zuri and she bought all new bedding for me and had like beautiful new bedding. And I remember bawling like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Or sending DoorDash when I was sick, those things, like we always lived far apart. You are very service oriented in that way. Yeah. Like you want to, if you can't be there physically, you will do something.
Well, and if you got like you guys moved into a new place, we'd go to IKEA or just something silly and get like an entry table and a little, like it was my way of being like, I'm supporting you. I'm so excited, but not just throwing cash.
I'm not going to pay for your rent.
I mean, but honestly, had you guys ever come to us, here's the other thing. You are very independent and you always have been.
Oh, I
and
never
you
asked.
Never would have asked.
No.
And had you, I probably definitely could not have
said no. I know, but I just didn't want to. I didn't
you never
want
did.
I,
you were very independent.
Yeah.
But I think in the short term, it's harder for both parents and kids, but in the long term, it's like one of the greatest gifts you can give them, because it screams, we're screaming at you, we believe in you. Uh-huh. We believe you're capable. And not only do we say the words, but we follow it up with action. Because I think some parents make the mistake of saying, you've got this, we believe in you, but here, because I don't think you can really cover your rent, here's this, 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 and this. But that just screams like, I don't think you can do it.
I'm worried.
Yeah.
You're not capable. It totally does. You guys are so good at that. We have so many questions, Mom. I start? Like, there's good ones.
Okay, let's ask.
So one of them right off the bat was, do you feel, this is a good one.
Okay.
What was the hardest part about raising yourself while trying to parent your children?
Ooh, okay. Well, I was young and I was still trying to figure out who I was. And I also was really trying to make it easy for Dad, for Bill, because he was going back to college. And I knew that that was a direct correlation, his success there with our future and our finances. So the hardest thing for me was finding a balance between making his life easy, because I think I kind of did, even though, I mean, he worked his guts out and did everything he could for us. But I never let him see the hard parts of mothering I just did it.
You did what you did for us kids, also with Dad. You shouldered a lot.
Yeah, because I just wanted him to be able to focus on one thing and just, you know, watch me, quote, have it. Because again, we were kind of like got married and people were rolling the dice at how long this was going to last, you know? Mm-hmm. And it seemed like I needed to prove myself to a million different people. And I hated that part of me. But for some reason, I felt the need to still do it. Like, I've got this. And not only do I got this, I'm going to do a good job.
And
of
we're
it.
A good family.
And we're going to do, and we're going to graduate from college. And we don't need a dime of your money, because we're going to pay for it ourselves. And we're going to raise this girl and she's not going to be in daycare. And like all of my rules that were important to me, I made sure that I just did them. Mm-hmm. But I think in that, I think I should have just relaxed a little bit more and just been okay with where we were, instead of having to prove myself to people that probably could have cared less.
Totally.
I wish I just was a little softer and kinder to myself through that process instead of going like so hard at all of it, like intentionally.
Ooh, that's a good one, Mama. Pardon the interruption. I'm excited to introduce to you all Open. So Open is the only app out that offers breathwork, meditation, and movement classes in one place only. So it has unlimited live and on-demand classes with teachers that make you feel like you're truly in person. So you guys, one thing about the Open app that just kind of outshines all the others is the aesthetics. It's just a vibe. I'm telling you, it's very Amangiri meets peaceful relaxation meets Spotify Premium. Like, I'm just saying, in a world bombarded by everything digital, Open really did a great job in making their app not only beautiful, but very, very user-friendly. And the imagery, I feel, it holds an energy behind it. It puts my mind at ease. It's pleasing to the eyes. And I've never had a digital experience that has made me feel the same way as taking an in-person class. But with Open, it feels the same as if I'm face-to-face with a teacher. So it honestly, it takes the guesswork out of meditation, out of breath work and movement. You can customize your time limits. So let's say you only have 3 minutes for a meditation that day. Cool. Open has a 3 minute class for you. Let's say you have 1 minute to dedicate to breath work. Cool. Open has a 1 minute class for you. Or let's say you want like a long, sweaty movement class. Well, you guessed it. Open has that as well. It's totally customizable. I know you guys are really, really, really going to enjoy this. So I worked out a deal with Open to get you all 30 days free. So you can try it out. You can see if you enjoy it as much as I do. There's a link in my show notes. It's withopen.com/Wesley, and I'll be sharing on social media too. Again, you can go to withopen.com/Wesley and use my code Wesley, and you will get 30 days free of unlimited live and on-demand breathwork, meditation, yoga, Pilates, all the classes, and even more. I can't list them here. So I'm excited to hear how you guys like it. Now let's get back to the show. Okay, so we're going to shift. I mean, these are all questions. So okay, we're going to ping pong around here. We're bouncing around. It. But I guess we should tell the audience, you've been on quite a little healing journey lately.
Yeah. Ooh, starting all that fun stuff.
Some people know this, some people don't. This question says, as you begin your healing journey, how has it affected your community, your family, and your friends?
My family.
Wait, you know what? Let's talk about your healing journey before. So okay, what are you doing, Mom, that's different for the first time in your life? Do you care to talk about how old you are?
No, I don't care.
How old are you?
57.
So at what age did you start to really radically shift your belief system? And
It would have been at about 48, 49.
Okay.
I started to think just a little bit more for myself and be open to other ideas. And I wasn't afraid to venture places I'd never ventured before. That was spurred on by Dad. He asked for a year of my life. He just said, hey, we've been doing so many things a certain way for all these, you know, 27 plus years. Can we try something different for a year? And I thought, wow, this is going to get scary, but
what was different mean? Like stop going to church?
He wanted just to spend Sundays together as a family.
And go bike riding.
And just do something. He wanted me not to be so involved in young women's and camps and Tuesday nights and Sundays and, you know, so many different things and working all week at what the greatest handout could be. Like, you know, just occupied so much of our time. And I thought, you know, he has gone and been so good for 27 years and supported in all of it. Mm-hmm. When even it kind of went against his real beliefs, to be honest, we all know that. And so I said, yes, I'll give you this year. And so I went and I asked to be released, and I kind of waited for everything to fall apart in our lives, to be honest with you. I was very scared. And it was funny because I just started finding who I was a little bit more. And I started finding more
like it
fun.
Took you by surprise. Like you're like, oh, I like
here's
this.
The crazy thing. It had been 18 months. And one day Dad came to me and goes, do you realize it's been 18 months? It's like, oh, crap. No, I didn't know.
Ah, we got to go. We got to go back.
So that was a shift for me in just the way I thought and did things and was willing to not be governed by guilt and fear.
And shame.
Yeah, well, and the shame for me, I think I let that go a lot, being like the bishop's daughter for, you know, my entire childhood, and then getting pregnant and not doing things, quote, right. I let that go kind of a long time ago. I learned that I didn't care about what was going on elsewhere. I cared what was happening in my own four walls. Mm-hmm. So the shame part wasn't a big deal for me, but I felt guilty mm-hmm. about certain things. And then I felt fearful. So that was a big change for me. And so I gave myself permission to venture out a little bit.
And what have you found since then, Mada?
Well, it's funny because I always say it's easy for me because look who my family is. Look at you. You know, when you were taking those baths and having those moments and your face was, quote, melting into the mirror, and I would hear it every day. Yeah. And I just knew you were on this journey. I hope you remember me saying, Wes, this is going to matter one day.
Mom, this I'm is probably all doing this something. Podcast because of you. She would tell me I was in the lowest of lows, my rock bottom, literally like mentally ill. I had body dysmorphic disorder, Bronson OD'd. You guys know the story. It was hell. And I would call my mom being like, I think I want to die. Like, yeah. This is not a life I want to live. This is terrible. And she would say, I know you're hurting.
Yeah.
And one day you are going to take this hurt and it's going to be medicine.
It's going to work for you.
And mom,
you're strong. Right. I knew you had it in you. And I've known it since you were a little girl. You were a tiny little girl, a 2-year-old, and you had wisdom beyond your years. Parents always learn from their kids. It's just facts of life. We learn from our children. Mm-hmm. No, you were like next level, like some crazy shaman in our house as a young child. I learned so much from you. So I always felt at peace for how you would get through this hard time. I never was fearful that you wouldn't.
But you
I
hurt.
Just didn't it like, yeah. yes, it was hard to watch you suffer. And especially when from the outside looking in, it looked so good. Mm-hmm. But I knew some of the suffering you were having. So that was hard. That was really, really hard. But I always knew you would be fine. I always knew you'd be fine. So having you as my daughter, you spurred me on. So here's, okay, I don't even know if you know this.
What?
So I have another little parenting trick, if it works.
What?
So that is like, as Rory was getting older, you're getting older. Like there's things like I want to stay connected. Mm-hmm. So for example, Rory's is a really easy one. He was 18 and he was watching hockey. I never watched a hockey game in my entire life, nor could I have cared less. And I thought, I need to do something with my son. He's 18. He doesn't have any obligation to stay at home, to hang out with me, to call me, to check in. Like, I need to do something to connect with him in a fun level, mm-hmm. A playful level, an easy level that's not mother-son.
It's hitting on that friendship cord.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So I started watching hockey games with Rory. I could really have cared less about the hockey games. And then a crazy thing happened. I watched so many hockey games, and then he would call me and tell me about things, and he would tell me the stories of the different players, and did you know this guy did this, and he just lost his wife, and he came from this town. He had nothing. Then I started to love the players. I started to love the game. I actually started to really know the game of hockey.
No, like, she's not even selling this story. What it really is, she is a full-blown fanatic. No, she's
such
obsessed.
A hockey fan. And Rory is now, what, 31? Mm-hmm. We started this when he was 18. We've gone on vacations together to go watch our team play. He will call me after games. We have secret codes because we know we have to, like, send a text that says, are you current? Like, you can't even give a good or a bad sign. Like, we have all these things about game day. We wear our, you know, the jerseys. It's this whole thing that it turned into. Mm-hmm. So I have something with Rory that I will cherish forever. And it started out with me just saying, ugh, what does he like?
I have to learn hockey.
I'll watch a stupid game. And then I learned to love it. So now here comes Miss West coming along. And, you know, we're mother-daughter. So we have a lot more just easy. We talk. I mean, it's just easy for you and I. It always has been. But now you're a woman. Like, you're leaving my home. You've got children. You're starting your own family. Like, I want to connect with you on the level more than just mother.
Yeah.
Like something that is deeper and real. So what's your interest?
I got into all this weird shit.
Yes, you got into all this weird shit. So you're meditating. I didn't meditate a day in my life. I didn't do yoga. I didn't even know what half of this crap was that you were telling me about. But I wanted to be excited for you. And yeah. It was like, I didn't know a lot, but I hope I portrayed that I was really into it with you.
You sold it.
For
I
you.
Felt like it was.
Yes, it was. So I'm at that point now where I'm actually buying the jersey, and now it's my turn to experience a lot of it because mm-hmm. I've sent Dad, I've sent Rory. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I'll do it for everybody else in my family because I've seen the benefits, huge benefits, and a reward that people have gotten out of it. But it was always like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Well, now Hayden's 19. She's going to be moving out soon. Like, it's time for mom, and I don't feel bad about it at all. So now I'm doing all the things.
So what are you doing, Mama?
Well, I did the energy work. Mm-hmm. I went and had a Reiki. I did Combo. That mm-hmm. one was, whew.
Because Mom, that's the one I avoided the most. It's the one you did first.
That's why I did it. Because I'm so afraid of the vomiting. It was like rip the Band-Aid off. And it was more of like prove to myself that I can do it.
Yeah.
So if I can
Mom,
go do combo.
You know what? You're badass. I did it. Let's just say it. You're freaking cool.
And I did it. And you know, I'm so proud of myself. And the benefits are great. And the people I meet along the way, mm-hmm. so cool too. Like those guys are great over there. So yes, I'm doing the things and I still have more to do and I'm not afraid to say, and I'll tell any of my friends. I mean, a lot of my friends know this. I'm like, yep, I'm going to do a psilocybin journey. I've never done mushrooms in my life. I am so excited because that one seems fun in comparison to, you know, the vomit sickness of combo. Yeah. So psilocybin, I'm going to do that. And I'm already signed up for ayahuasca in January.
You guys, my mom's going to do ayahuasca.
I know. And why not? What do I have to lose? If nothing else, I have a good story. I don't care.
I mean, it makes great stories.
It's a great story. And more importantly, Wes, I hope it shows to you that, number one, I believe you. I see you. Your example is meaningful. It mm-hmm. helps other people. And I know more than anybody on planet Earth, you want to help me. Yeah. I know that about you. You yeah. are so in tune with me all the time. And so you call me out every now and then. You say, Mom, you pay for Dad to go. You paid for the, you know, why don't you do it for yourself?
My mom is the first to get everyone to where they need to be, last on her own list. So I think that I'm the you in this story yes. where I am like on you.
Yes.
I don't want to be pushy, yes. but I do feel like we can love each other. We're so honest with each other yeah. that we've created yeah. this safety
yes.
where I can say to you lovingly, hey,
yes,
it's time to do this for you. And I can tell it. You want yes. it, Mom. You want it. You're ready.
And it feels good. Like, why not? I think at my age, this is, you know, a really big changing point in my life. So do it now. I think it's better if you do it younger. Congrats mm-hmm. on all the girls and guys out there willing to do the work younger. I just mm-hmm. wasn't even aware.
Yeah.
I was.
I mean,
aware.
It's a different time, Mom.
Yeah, it was a different time. So I think doing it now for me feels really, really good. And if it makes you and I just have one more thing to talk about, to share, to be together with, I think it's great. And I was gonna say, you were talking about how you and I can be really honest with each other.
Yeah.
Can I share one funny thing about you as a mother?
What?
Oh, I loved this so much because
what?
So when the babies were born, you uh-huh. know that like, of course, I'd get new bedding and I'd come and make food.
She would sleep with me for like a week.
Yeah.
She would come to my house, yeah. sleep in bed with me with the new baby.
With the baby. And then I'd only wake you up to put the baby on your boob. Do everything. I know. I loved it. So of course I did that. But with that being said, I mm-hmm. always made you feel, and I always let you trust your own judgment. There were so many things I wanted to do. I'd be like, mm-hmm. oh, that's perfect. Like bathe the baby. I wanted you to understand very early that I believed in your mothering skills.
Oh my gosh.
And I did not know better than you, even though there was a few times where I was like, oh gosh, just if you do, but I never said that. I just let you figure it out because now you're capable. But one time, I think it was with Zuri, and she was probably like four. She was little. It was when mm-hmm. you guys were living with us once. And I don't even remember what she did. But she did something, and she got in trouble. And this is where we didn't finish talking about the other half on how you're half dad.
What?
You're half dad.
Oh, yeah, I'm half dad.
Because okay. you okay. can be like fiery.
So Mama Joy is sweet, kind, yes. loving. Bill is a bulldog.
Bill is like, he has boundaries and he is not afraid to speak his mind. He is a researcher. He is going to find out the truth. He is not going to let anybody sway his opinion. Like, you are so much like him too.
And no one fucks with Bill.
Yeah, that's so true. No mm-hmm. one does. So in this moment, you had scolded your perfect little darling 4-year-old daughter, my granddaughter, who I can't remember what she did, but it was probably something so silly, but it was meaningful. And you were trying to teach her a lesson. Mm-hmm. And after the scolding and after the lesson that you taught, I went up to Zuri and I started to hug her and comfort her.
I don't remember this.
Oh my gosh, Wes, you looked at me with like devil eyes and you just were like, Mom, come here, please. I was like, what the hell? And you walked me around the corner and you were like, you will not comfort her and tell her it is okay. She is in trouble. You do not walk over right when I just am trying to teach her this lesson and hug her and say everything is okay. And I was like,
I did that to you? I'm sorry.
Yes. No, you're not sorry. That is the brilliance of parenting. Yes, you were exactly right. I was just, you know, wanting to love my granddaughter, but not more than letting her have a moment and you a teaching moment.
Really?
So I learned early on that Mama Wesley is the queen mama.
Oh, yeah.
And I just support.
you know what? Glennon Doyle says this, and it is so, I've actually wanted to acknowledge this in you before. I didn't think about it till right now. She says that when a daughter becomes a mother, that the mother-daughter relationship both become mothers. Mm. Like that, like your mothering role trumps all yes. other roles. And yes. it's like, you can meet me, I'm always your daughter. But when I am in my mothering, it is, I mean, you're...
That's your power.
It's you don't go there. And yeah. you know what? I don't go there with either. I know when you're coming, when you are like coming at me as the mom, mm-hmm. that is the respect that I have towards you. That is the wisdom that I honor in you. You have lived a life longer than me. You have done more than me. I know when to shut my mouth and allow you to be my mother. We don't mess with each other's motherhood.
No, we don't. We don't.
Really respect.
We do. We do respect each other's motherhood, and rightfully so.
And you know, it's because I mother like you. There is this thing, this unspoken thing when it comes to being a mother, where there's a lot of logistics. And I know that you said like you felt a lot of fear, but I know as your child, your intuition overrode that fear most often. Maybe you grappled with it more than what I ever knew or perceived, but I know that you mothered me out of your gut, out of your knowing, out of your heart, more than your fear.
Yes, I did.
And
I did.
I respect that. And I learned from you because I'm doing the same. My kids are doing shit that I'm like, what? I'm afraid.
I'm afraid.
And yeah. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to override that. And what do I feel? What do I feel? What do I feel? And you do this really, really well, Mom.
And the other thing that I used to always like tell myself was choose your battles wisely. If you're fighting over every stupid one dumb little thing, then nothing is meaningful. So when I had to come down on you guys, I wanted it to be impactful.
Pardon the interruption, guys. Wes here. I'm doing the ad thing again, but this time around, it's my own ad, which feels so good to say out loud. So season one, I sold my now. It's kind of infamous. It's the do no harm, take no shit, yin yang crew. It's made its rounds on the good old fashioned world wide web. It's taken on an identity of its own. It's been so fun to watch and even more fun to run into people in the wild wearing it. So if you head on over to my website right now, wakeupwithwesley.com, you can shop that Yin Yang crew. But I now get the pleasure of introducing to you all my brand new Metamorphosis collection. So this Metamorphosis collection has been heavily inspired by this sticky, yucky goo phase that I'm talking to you all about right now that I've been in. I live here. I actually want to celebrate this because I think it's quite an honorable thing. But there is genuinely, I really mean this, there is so much beauty, there's so much symbolism behind the artwork and all of these new pieces that I've created. I'm so incredibly proud of this line. I've got hoodies in all different sizes. I've got an oversized crew neck in the designs. And then this is custom. It is the perfect fit. And I really mean it's the perfect fit, you guys. It's an oversized sort of like, it's a boxy fitting t-shirt. It's in both the Metamorphosis collection and in the Do No Harm, Take No Shit designs. So please head on over to my shop right now at wakeupwithwesley.com. Any purchases you make there go right back into the production side of this show. And also, it just means the world to me. You guys, I notice. I read all your names. And if I see you in public wearing one of my things, I just might sneak attack koala bear, hug you out of excitement. And I'm warning you because this... I just seem to lack most basic human boundaries, and I have done this to a total stranger wearing my crew neck at a fair this last summer, and she thought I was kidnapping her. So, like, this is your warning. It's funny and sad, but mostly funny. So just buy my stuff if you like my stuff. I like my stuff. It's comfy. It's cozy. It's deeply meaningful. It's a nod to all of you people out there doing hard stuff with a smile on your face and warmth in your heart. I see you. I get you. I honor your goo phase. Now let's get back to the show. Okay.
So, okay.
This is a good one.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Mom, when you were 20, what did you think your life would be like at this stage?
Oh.
So you're going to be 60 in 3 years.
Oh, two and a half. Even scarier. Not even.
Two and a half?
Not even.
Well, first of all, did you think you'd be such a hot smoking babe?
Oh, you're so cute. You're so cute. Well, I knew that I wanted to be a mother, and I knew that family would be the most important thing for me. It's just how I'm wired. It just is. I knew that I would be a loyal wife and a good wife because that's just part of family for me. Mm-hmm. So I pictured myself with kids, with grandkids, and with Bill living my best life.
And it's pretty much true.
It's pretty much true. I mean, there's only one thing that I would change, and that would be for Rory to bring me a grandbaby, but we'll get into that later.
I think Hayden's going to be before
Rory. I'm just kidding, Rory. I want you to do you.
I'm not kidding. I want to put the pressure on.
No, I honestly, I feel like my life is really pretty spectacular. I feel super, super blessed, super, super happy. I have people around me that love me. Like my greatest joy, I think, is watching like you and Hayden together and Rory. Like nothing brings me more happiness than seeing the real, it's like so genuine relationship the three of you guys have. Like it is just for a mom to sit back and just be able to be a part of that. Nothing is better.
We're idiots when we get together.
It's so fun though.
It's so fun.
But you guys are each other, like you support each other like fiercely. Mm-hmm. You would go to bat fiercely for each other. You can play fiercely and you have no expectations.
Mom, if anyone were to talk about like any Rory, the way that we can talk about Rory, I would punch them in their face.
I'm allowed
to say this, but no one else.
Oh, I know.
It's intense.
So I mean, maybe there were some things that I would have thought at 20, I'm sure I would have thought that I would be the Relief Society president or something because, you know, that seemed to be a goal when you're
yeah,
raised a certain way. But for me, no, I am super satisfied and happy with where I am.
So another question, what was the favorite decade of yours and favorite decade for raising the kids?
I loved the Condor years. Remember how fun
it was? That was my childhood. Yeah, that's like what I claim those a year and a half. That's my whole childhood. Loved it.
Those were such, we just played. Mm-hmm. That's when I felt most like myself. Where it, you know, up to that point in life, like a vacation was going to visit your grandparents or, you know, something obligatory in that regard. No, those were the years we just learned how to play. And you guys were so much fun. And Rory was super mischievous and lighting like all my spices on fire.
Making potions.
And you and cute Elora, I remember how you guys were the cutest.
We loved animals. We had like funerals for lizards. And we went boating. Our childhood was boating. We went boating every day.
We just played. So those are years that are just super, super precious. But then we got Hayden added into the mix. And I loved those years when she was little and you guys were teenagers when we lived in Colorado in that house with the courtyard. Those were really, really good, fun times for me too.
It was fun.
But again, honestly, like we started talking about it. Like those were really good times, but I don't live in that now. Like I would never want to keep you there because I love who you are now. And then you got married to Bronson. You brought Bronson into our life. I mean, how lucky are we? And then hello, then you're a mother and you bring grandchildren. It is the absolute greatest joy of my life. Those three grandbabies, I love them so freaking much. I can't even stand it.
I know.
There's not one phase that's my favorite because each phase has something in it that is remarkable. And I wouldn't trade any of them. And I'm looking forward to what's next, even though there's a little bit of like, oh, shoot, what is it going to be? Because it's going to be different. But I'm looking forward to that too.
I love that, Mom. This one says, there's like a two-part to this.
Okay.
And you kind of went there, so maybe you don't have to go there totally. But it says, what was Wes like when she was little? And then how did you react? Were you scared when she told you she was pregnant? Was it such a difference from her younger self to her 20-year-old self?
Okay, no. Well, first, when you were little, you were an absolute delight, like the best, most fun little kid. You came to work with me every day from the time you were probably 18 months until you were like four. Remember, I worked up at the Ridge Athletic Club and you just ruled the roost up there and you were so cute. I had the privilege of letting you be with me. And then when I needed to like be in a meeting or something, you'd go run the front desk. Everybody knew you. You would go and charge things in the snack bar shack. You'd say, put it on my mom's charge. You know, you were so much fun as a child, but most importantly, you were very wise. You taught me things that I absolutely needed to learn at that age for me. And I felt like you were a really old soul, even when you were little, but you were an absolute, just a fun, joyful. People were drawn to you when you were little, just like they are now that you're older. And that never changed. You got older and you got more experienced with things or wiser in other things or whatever it was. But who you were was who you were when you were a child. You have not deviated from that core set of who you are, your beliefs, your strengths, and your willingness to be like loyal to yourself. You've always been that person. So that was just so much fun raising you. When you called me and said you were pregnant, I took a deep breath, if you remember correctly. Yeah,
she said, I said, Mom, I have some news for you.
Yes.
And she said, what is it? And I said, okay, so do you want to hear it over the phone? I think I said that.
Yeah.
And he said, well, what?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah, you just had to get it out.
I'm pregnant and it's a really happy thing. And yes. If anyone has any other feelings other than happiness for me, I will not be talking to them. So yes. I said it like
you
that.
You did. You did not just present. You presented.
I informed.
You informed. But I respected it so much because I had been you at a certain point in my life. And it was a different conversation. And so when I was hit with that news, I took a deep breath because it's, you know, a little like, whoa, okay, wow, okay, we're going to do this.
You said, I need a minute. I literally heard you deep breathing.
Yeah.
It was like four, it was like that four times.
Yeah.
And then Mom, your voice on the thing, you said, all right, I get to be a grandma.
Yeah.
That's literally what you said.
Well, you told me you guys were going to get married. And I said, let's do this. Mm-hmm. Let's make it spectacular. And we did.
Oh my gosh. My mom showed up for me in that more than any other person. I felt a lot how you felt. There was so much shame surrounding the situation. And I was like, for what?
Yeah.
Like people have sex all the time. So I have proof of having sex.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
All your kids are having sex.
And you were in love with Bronson and you guys wanted to build a family and do all the right things. We absolutely got behind you. I supported you 1000%. There was no shame in my game. And I remember you being that same way. You would just like walk up to practically strangers saying, I'm getting married and I'm pregnant. And
I added it every single time. I'm getting married and I'm 3.5 months pregnant.
Yes.
I wasn't ashamed about it.
No.
And you were so gracious in advocating for me in that space. Like, and that's the thing that I see now as an adult, like a more grown woman, is that you were my advocate.
Of course.
And I know it was hard for you.
Yeah.
I know you were afraid. I remember you got shingles before I had Zuri. Like now, the woman that I am, I'm like, she was so freaking scared. She made her body sick. Like you were so nervous, but you did not show that to me at all. You were my biggest cheerleader.
We had fun. In fact, you kind of disappointed me a minute because I wanted to like taste more cakes and look at more dresses and look at all the options. And you were just like, good enough. That's
Mom,
fine.
That is who cake, I am, huh?
I know.
I think people think that I lie when I say like how little I care about shit. I don't care.
She did not care. I would have spent an unlimited amount of money on this wedding had she asked for something. And I could barely get the girl to try on a wedding dress. I think it was like, this one's fine. The first cake we looked up, yep, that one's great. What about the food? Whatever, you pick. I'm like, do you like shrimp on a skewer? Do you want the, whatever. You did not care.
Mm-mm.
It was just not, you didn't care. That wasn't the priority for you.
This one is kind of a tangent to that. And I think that you touched on it, but advice for parents who are dealing with their children going through really, really, really tough times, like drug addictions, really bad friend breakups, a pregnancy, things like the real life stuff. I mean, it happens to the best of us. What's your advice for parents going through
their kids? Well, I certainly don't have the answers. And I am grateful that I haven't had really, you know, tough things, because I know there's a lot of people that go through much harder things than I've ever had to go through. But I think the thing that just comes to mind for me is love, love, love.
Mm-hmm.
Love them no matter what. Relationship first. Understanding that whatever they're going through, hopefully they will work through. Drug addiction is scary. I mean, that one, there's a lot of danger in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that'd be tough. But honestly, I just think being there so your kids know that no matter who they are or what they're doing, that my love as a mother is not based on their behavior. Mm-hmm. My love as a mother will always be constant. Always. You will always have a safe place with me. I will always love you. I will help you best I can.
And I cannot fix it.
I cannot fix it because I believe you're capable of fixing it yourself, because that is my greatest gift to you. And I mean, in that realm, like remember when Rory got arrested?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
well, he spray painted a dead cat. So let's just lead with that.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't. Yeah, he did do that.
That's why he got arrested.
No,
right?
That was just he got a ticket and I had to take him to court once.
Oh.
And the judge looked at it and said, graffiti, this is ridiculous. Do you know how expensive this is? It looks right here. And he opened up the ticket and read it and he said, you spray painted a dead cat. And he just looked up at me and he was like, Yeah, don't do that again. Like, it was the dumbest thing. But no, Rory really did. He didn't pay those two tickets.
He had tickets and he didn't pay. And he got pulled over and
mm-hmm. and they arrested him for not paying the tickets. And I wanted to run down there and pull him out of jail so bad. I cannot even tell you. But I absolutely knew it wasn't the right thing. Dad was working. He was out of town. Called him and he's like, you will not go pick that boy up. He has to figure this out on his own. It was so painful. So we didn't pick him up. Long story short, it ended up being the 4th of July weekend. The judge was on vacation. He ended up being in jail almost 2 weeks. I had to leave
in
town.
In a really scary jail too, in Utah, like the worst.
It was so frightening for me as a mother. I just hated it. My friends, literally, we went down to our cabin in Bryanhead where there was no phones and no like internet. I just had to like be away because I wanted to rescue. I wanted to save, but I knew it was not the right thing for him. Mm-hmm. And if you even ask him, I think he might've even told this story, but he absolutely says it was a turning point in his life. And he was so grateful that we didn't run in and rescue. Mm-hmm. So help, yes. Support, yes. Rescue, no. Love, love, love.
Love it, Mom. We're going to end on this one.
Okay.
Everyone is dying to know. And Hayden wrote, listen, who's your favorite child? Which we all know is Rory.
No. So. No, that is not true. Here's my, if you want to know who my favorite child is, I hope that when you ask Hayden, Hayden will absolutely say Hayden is my favorite child. Mm-hmm. And if you ask Rory, I damn well know he's going to say Rory. And I mm-hmm. hope if someone asks you, you need to say you.
Well, I feel like it's me, but.
Yes, that is my goal. I want each of you to feel like you are my favorite child because you each are.
No. Okay, and then last one. What is your favorite thing about each of your kids?
Oh, gosh, each of my kids. Okay, for you, I love that you are independent and a researcher and that you delve into things that you want to know and you want to understand. You like to bring people along for the ride. You like to share your knowledge. I love that you brighten up a room like nobody on planet Earth when you walk in. You just have this energy about you that people love. I love that you're loyal to people. You're loyal to me. I love our friendship. I love the day-to-day sharing. I could go on and on. You literally are like my best human friend on planet Earth.
You are my best friend.
So I love so much about you, Wesley, and I'm beyond proud of you, as you already know. Rory, oh my gosh, so much about Rory. I love that Rory is unchanging in who he is.
Oh my gosh, that man.
If he has an opinion, this is who I am. He does not care what anyone thinks. Mm-hmm. You're a lot like that too, though.
Yeah, but he's like more...
his is like stringent. Like, ooh, yeah. Like, because yeah. He likes some weird things and he mm-hmm. just is so proud of them. He will wear it with pride, say it with pride, act it out with pride. It's who he is. He knows who he is. And I love that about him. I also love that he is just absolutely fun. Rory is fun and he's smart and he's a thinker and he's creative and he's beyond talented at anything he tries. That kid can do.
He's such a creative.
Yes, he's so good at it. And you know what? I don't care how old he is. He still hugs me. He still kisses me. He still just calls to check in. We talk hockey. He is like my buddy. I love Rory, like with everything. Mm-hmm. Hayden is the kindest soul on planet Earth.
Hayden's too special for this world. I don't talk about her a lot because I don't even want any feedback about her. Like she's literally off limits.
I know. Like, she is the sweetest kid.
The sweetest person I've ever met.
But she has a heart of gold and she has the softest heart and it is genuine mm-hmm. and it is real and it's for animals and people. And I mean, this girl will cry at the drop of a hat with real like empathy for something.
Like she'll have to go into her room. Like she'll cry in public, but then she'll need an hour by herself to mourn. Like an animal with a limp.
Yes. A homeless dog with a homeless man.
Oh my gosh. Don't show her homeless dogs. Yeah,
she just can't. But she, and here's the thing about Hayden is she's really wise mm-hmm. like you. You and Hayden are very similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
With this big 16-year gap, it's really interesting to see the similarities that the two of you have. She's super responsible, like ridiculously responsible. She is an overachiever. She does great in anything she sets her mind to. She gives herself grace, but she pressures herself to be her best. Mm-hmm. But Hayden is a lover and she is just like the best kind of human on planet Earth.
It's so true.
I love her.
It's so true. Well, Mom, I think I want to have you on a little bit more. That's we should ask the audience what they want to hear from you.
Oh, we have so many good. We have so many good stories from growing up. All of my crazy.
Oh my gosh! Like all the guys, my
people sneaking
life.
In rooms and.
She got a turkey on her fifth grade, like her 10-year-old birthday. Literally, turkeys was your present.
We have good stories. We got all those crazy, scary stories that we got lots more. But this is good.
Lots of stories. Well, I love you, Mama. I appreciate you so much. I'm so happy that people get to finally know. The woman who made me. Yes. I don't think I'd be who I am without you, Mom.
Well, I love you 1,000 times more, so I'm the luckiest one here.
Okay, I love
you. Thank you.
And to the audience, we love you too. We will see you next week. Bye.
Peace out.
How do you feel? I'm bald.
Oh, I love it.